Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. Can you see me? Can you hear me? Is anything broken?
What's that? Who stuck down a well?
God damn it.
I feel like, honestly. Is that what today is? Is that what this week is?
Yes, it's been absolutely horrible. Everything that I've gone to do, like, okay, so I woke up this morning to a bazillion messages being like, I think your Skype was hacked. I think your Skype was hacked. Oh. Yep, it was. So I sent out these like spam weight loss messages links to like everyone in my contact list who happened to be online at 9 o'clock this morning, apparently. So if... PSA, if you actually do have me on Skype and you got a link, do not click on the link because I'm pretty sure I got a link about 3 weeks ago. And the thing is, it has like your username in the URL. So I thought it was someone being like, oh, hey, you know, because it was a good friend of mine, obviously, being like, oh, hey, I found this thing of you online. You should go look. So I clicked on it and it was some stupid weight loss thing. And I didn't think anything more of it. I just sent him a message to be like, oh, dude, you're sending spam. Check your account, whatever. And then I did the same thing to my whole contact list today. So I think that's what it was, is me clicking on that link. It somehow exposed my account to some sort of vulnerability. Anyways, I changed my password. It should be fine now. But yeah, if anyone has like clicked on that link or has passwords that are the same on a whole bunch of different places, like just go change your stuff. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I mean, anybody who's kind of like shaking their head and why would you click it? It happens to the best of us. I have a video gaming example of said it happened. Like, I'm a computer scientist. You'd think I'd be able to see through these hackers and their like weird t-shirts and their hacking skills, right? Because I'm a scientist.
Right.
And this one time I wasn't playing WoW, and I obviously had I had a subscription at one point, and you get these emails from Blizzard and they're like, they look really good. So it's like, oh, your password, you need to change it. Someone's accessed your account. And then I clicked on it and I accessed my account. It's like, wait a minute, it's not working. It just keeps giving me an error. I'll enter my password again. Because I hadn't played WoW in months, so I figured it was like Blizzard's like stretch to be like, you need to come back. Here's whatever. And it turns out it was a phishing account, and then I logged in and all my stuff was missing, and I'm like, oh
my God,
I feel dumb. So I called Blizzard, or I talked to them on email, and I said to them, it's like, I'm a computer scientist. I feel like an idiot that I was that I did this. Like, I gave my and he's like, you know what? It happens to everybody. Don't worry about it. We'll restore your account to your last stable login. You're all good. Don't worry about it. Fax us your driver's license and you'll be set. And I said, what's a fax?
See, I've had the same sort of, I guess, experience with Blizzard customer service. They have been so fantastic. Anytime I've ever had any kind of authentication issues, it's literally like I take a photo with my phone of my driver's license and then I email it to them and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. We'll just do all the things. But yeah, like, so one of the things that Microsoft says to do if you think your account's been compromised is to report it. And then they'll kind of block it on their end if anybody else is trying to get in or if any suspicious links are being sent out, whatever. So I go to report it and you have to go like all the way through their Microsoft help or whatever. And so I'm trying to go through it. And then finally you get to the page where it's like this like kind of questionnaire thing and where you have to enter all this information. And some of the things are like, give us the month and year that you started your Skype account. I'm like, I don't freaking know. I've had a Skype account for years. Like, I can't pin that down. I probably made an account and didn't use it for a year or something. Like, I don't even know. I couldn't even start to guess when I would have actually made my account. Yeah. And it's stuff like that that's like required information. So I'm like, I can't even report that my account has been compromised because me, Jocelyn, owner of the Skype account, doesn't know all that stupid crap. Like...
Yeah, it's a weird thing, and they only ask for that information to try and try to. It's like, well, we know you've been hacked, so we're going to be super careful about who accesses your account.
Thinking, I'm like, okay, well, I'm giving you basically like everything, like mother's maiden name, birth date, like date I started Skype, and like there was literally, and this is the other thing in this questionnaire, is it was literally every kind of security thing that I would ever possibly use for anything was going into this form. And I'm just like, you know what? I accessed this like through Skype. I'm just gonna not, because I'm like, I have no idea. First of all, I couldn't even answer half the questions. And then the ones I could answer were stuff that I'd used as security, you know, tips and hints and whatever in other places. Yeah. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to not report it because Microsoft, you're not helping me in any way, shape, or form right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what, Microsoft, you can go F off. How does that sound?
Yeah.
It'll just sound like that.
So yeah, that was the start of my day, mm-hmm. was just this whole Skype debacle. And I'm still getting messages from people being like, are you calling me fat? Or like, I think you've been hacked. And then, I mean, in the positive side of this is that there are a couple of people I haven't talked to in a long, long time, mm-hmm. who are just like, oh, hey, so how have you been? Yeah. It's been a while. So thank you, spammers, for like, yeah. reconnecting me with long lost friends. I much appreciate it.
So if one of those messages prompting people you haven't talked to in a while leads to like a business transaction, do you owe the spammers like a percentile of your earnings?
No, they can go F themselves.
No? Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, like we are legally obligated to explore all avenues.
You know, I don't really understand just the point of the whole hacking Skype in order to send mm-hmm. links to other people to then hack their Skypes to send links to more people. Like, does that ever actually work? Like, did somebody click on that link and go, huh, Jocelyn thinks I should lose weight. Maybe I should try this Rachel Ray diet thingy and then actually go ahead and buy something from that site. Like, every single person that I talked to today was like, oh, you've been hacked. Yep, yeah. Google flagged that link for me or whatever and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I realize that even though I clicked the link, like I mm-hmm. clicked through,
yeah,
I immediately closed it because I was like, this is clearly spam. So yeah. I closed it like that. I'm like, what's the point? Like, who's making money off of this? Does anyone ever buy things?
You never know. Like that's the hacking people and getting into people's accounts. And this applies to everybody, including video games. And we've actually, over the course of this show's lifespan, have come across some of the biggest hacks in video game history, with the PlayStation Network going down and Xbox One going down a couple times, like and not necessarily data getting hacked, but just hacks in general. And the reason they do it is a numbers game. Like, maybe with you they don't hit anybody, you're friends with really smart people, and then maybe when they click on it by accident, they're all friends with really smart people. And it's, smart is actually rude, because like, this could happen to anybody. You could accidentally send it to someone who might think, oh, this is a great idea, thank you. You know, you never know. It's a numbers game. So
I guess
if they fail,
like, I did actually call my mother and say, Mom, do not click on that link.
Yeah, and I've had similar conversations, and I've also had conversations that end with, unplug your computer and take it to Future Shop. Have them sterilize it.
Yeah.
And call your banks. And, you know, it happens to be, and you know, it only takes one, and you just hope that experience doesn't result in any like negative impact. Like, you learned a lesson and you got to keep all your assets, including yeah. your house.
And luckily, you know. Because we went through this a long, long time ago now, mm-hmm. Where there was a point where we thought that Ryan and I, gamers in whatever, might be targeted by some not so nice people. Mm. So at that point, I went through and changed all of my passwords to like randomly generated 20 character long things from LastPass. So gun to my head, I can't tell you my passwords for anything.
It's true.
So it's not like my Skype account was the only thing that actually shared that same password was my old Twitter account. So then I had to go in and change that one too. But like, I didn't have a lot of crossover in my passwords, and I just don't. So let this be a lesson, people, because that could have been way worse if they had somehow gotten my password and then used it to access other things. But
yeah, they could, maybe if you hadn't turned on your video camera today, I might have thought there could be hackers on the show and they're coming on for an agenda to sell weight loss pills as a video game. It's like, okay, it's called Pill Story, and how it works is you're at a computer, right, and you search fields, and then you find these pills, right, magic pills. And you pay $5.99 once a month, every 2 weeks, plus shipping and handling, and it's great. What do you say? It's best game of the year. It's like, that sounds terrible. Don't do that. What did I say? Monthly, two times a week?
That
didn't make sense.
I don't even know. You went off on a tangent. So
it's hacker logic.
So Ryan, mm-hmm. what have you been up to this week?
This week has actually been really cool, because on Sunday, The show was recorded a while ago, but I was actually featured on Hammer. I'm sorry, Hammond Chamberlain's Beyond the Playlist. He gets it all the time. No, he doesn't. But it was a lot of fun. It's an interview-based podcast where we talked about not necessarily just video games, but a lot of other things that I do in my life. And it was a lot of fun.
Whoa, you do other things in your life?
Besides video games. Yeah, all the time, actually.
I call shenanigans.
Well, you'll have to listen. I don't want to spoil it, but you'll have to listen to it. There's something in there about, like, a day job and having a baby and all kinds of other cool stuff that, again, isn't video game related. You can go to beyondtheplaylist.libsyn.com, but we'll put the link in the chat and also in the notes. And I had a lot of fun. Definitely worth checking out. There's actually a lot of other people that did the show previous to me that I would think, that I would actually state, are much more interesting. Dills, Kyle Ferguson, lots of interesting people have been on that show. So I'm just the most recent.
Yeah, he has a history of having some pretty interesting guests on there. So yeah, you guys should definitely go and check that out. Sure. So what have you been playing this week? Because I haven't been playing too much stuff that's like out of the ordinary. So we'll start with you.
Yeah. So last week I sort of dropped the bomb that I was playing Metal Gear Solid 5 because I'm crazy, and it's not like I have anything else to do or any other games to finish before D-Day, which is today, due date. As my dad put it, he called it D-Day, and I'm like, really? That's a little much, don't you think?
That's today. Some reason thought it was tomorrow.
Yeah, today is the due date for Baby Murphy, or as we were calling him, Mega Man Murphy.
Yes.
Or Megan Man Murphy.
Or if it's Megan a girl. Man Murphy. Yeah, yes, Megan depending Man on Murphy. Whether it's a boy or a girl, because you're not finding out, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird. Like literally, when you think about it, you're not gonna find out the sex of the baby unless you like have a bird's eye view. you're not gonna find out until like the doctor like just takes the baby and
says it's
like in the movies. It's like
exactly.
It's a boy. Oh yeah, it is. No wait. I don't know how it works. I think they just pretty much they can tell they're doctors. But anyways, yeah, today was the due date. I'm pretty sure it still is, but
is yeah.
Yeah, it's not an exact science. You know, babies are late all the time. But I will let you know if we have to end the show prematurely.
Okay. Because, I mean, Ryan said that they got back from the doctor sometime last week and like, yeah. Oh, could be any time. And so I've literally been texting Ryan like once a day, like, so baby, well, clearly you have forgotten to text me if that is the case.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is I paid my dues for getting overexcited. And really what I should have held on to from that appointment was it could be in the next 3 to 4 days. But you never know. And I was like, 3 to 4 days? That's crazy. I got to play all the video games, including the one I just bought. And we're still waiting. And everyone will know when it happens. And certain people will know ahead of time. That includes you. So
yay.
Don't worry about it. You're all good. There's a Slack channel for this, I think. Make sure your Slack notifications are working.
Okay.
I'm joking. I'll text you. Anyways, so what I did this weekend, and probably not to my benefit, was that I played literally all weekend Metal Gear Solid 5. I was like, in my brain, I was like, this is the last weekend I have pre-baby, which isn't a bad thing, you know? It's not a bad thing at all. And I was like,
I laugh so hard if next week you're just like, so, I had another weekend that was my last weekend pre-baby.
Well, I had a funny conversation with someone who had just, their friend had just had a baby, and he was over at their house, and it's like, okay, it's your last weekend, let's just have a good time, play some video games. And then there was another last weekend, and then another last weekend, and he said as he was leaving the last time, it's like, okay, one more weekend, let's go for four, connect four, let's do it. And then she ended up having her baby like a couple days later. But you're right, in that there literally could be one final weekend. But I probably won't do what I did this last weekend because I played probably in total about 20 hours of Metal Gear Solid 5 in the course of 2 days.
So is that a bad thing? Like, why do you say it wasn't to your benefit?
Because I've just played so much of it. And there's a mechanic in that game where when you're controlling Snake or Big Boss or Venom, I'm not a Metal Gear guy. So they have a name for that main character. There's like 20 of them. We'll just, for our sake of sanity, we'll call him Snake, even though it's okay. Not save your emails.
Okay.
So he's got a weird thing coming out of his head. He's like part unicorn. I don't understand it, but whatever. It's very Japanese. There's a move where the controls are really solid, in that one of the issues I have with stealth games is that your character feels very stiff, you know? So when you get caught, it feels like you're going to die because your character doesn't know how to move properly, which probably makes sense. A lot of those sneaking suits are like skin tight. You ain't moving very quickly. I don't know if you've ever worn anything skin tight, but it is tough. Moving on. So there's this great mechanic where you're like, you can go from running to dive, and you can dive into prone and basically sneak around. So basically all weekend I just spent running around the deserts of Afghanistan and then like diving into grass and then slowly sneaking up on people. And then there's this move where you can literally swing your arm and just trip everybody. It's the most satisfying thing ever. And I did that for like 20 hours straight. It was fantastic. And then to the point where I was like dreaming about people running and then diving to prone and like sneaking. It was really unhealthy. But you know what happens when you play a video game too much, and it kind of like seeps into your brain and that's all you can think about.
Yep.
I'm sure you dream about Hearthstone cards and stuff, and like
I do. Yeah. I dream in Hearthstone.
Yeah, see? So you know where I'm coming from.
Yep.
but Metal Gear Solid 5 is this like open world stealth game where you aren't really penalized for being caught, in the sense that, and I think I mentioned this last week, and I reinforce it this week because I played a lot more. When you start a mission, you kind of go into this cornered off area of this huge map, and it's like, okay, here's your mission parameters, and it's this big chunk of space, and it's like, get from point A to point B, do something, sneak out, take your helicopter and run. And you can do that in any way possible. And usually in stealth games, when you get caught, mission over, you know, you're done.
Yeah.
Have you played a lot of stealth games? I don't know if we've had this conversation.
I've played a couple, but I mean, generally the stealth stuff that I do is usually like stuck into another game that I'm playing somehow, like the stealth parts of Tomb Raider, the stealth parts of Assassin's Creed. Like, they're not necessarily straight up stealth games. There's more to them, but yeah, that's kind of what my history with, I guess, stealth in games. And they're so punishing. Like, I mean, there are so many areas of Tomb Raider where I just couldn't figure it out. There's like 25 dudes, and as soon as you tip one off, they all know, and it's just like, well, you're insta-dead.
Yeah. And that's really true when it comes to, I've had experiences with Assassin's Creed where if you don't fail the mission right away for being caught, and sometimes you do, which is extra frustrating, yes. But other times you'll just be swarmed, and it's like, I wanted to do this stealthy. I didn't want to kill everybody. And trying to kill everybody in any of the Assassin's Creed games can be punishing, because you're like, okay, dodge, dodge, hit, dodge, hit, run, jump. It's just kind of, unless you're playing Batman, it's boring. You know, when you get caught in, in Batman, I take that back. When you're playing the Predator sections, if you get caught, that's super frustrating. Because it's all of a sudden, you've just got a hail of bullets coming at you.
Yeah, I totally actually forgot about Batman. But yeah, that would be another one that has stealthy sections in a larger game.
Yeah, but in Metal Gear, because it's an open world, and the most times you'll come up across, and if you can kind of picture, it's like Afghanistan in the 80s, and it's kind of how you think stereotypically in your mind, even if it was exactly like this, it's kind of how I imagined it, where it's this really cool environment, like desert-like with dirt roads, and occasionally you'll come up against an outpost. It'll be whatever, a watchtower and stuff, and there's these guys there. And you can do your best to kind of come up to them, sneak, and like take a few guys out. But if you ever get caught by... Oh, and the other thing is you can actually mark everybody. So you have these binoculars, these magic binoculars for some reason, that when you zoom in on someone...
I love when video games give you like magical stuff that just like, oh yeah, you can see this dude through walls now.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like that. You use these binoculars, which for some reason existed in the 80s. I don't know what 80s this guy's living in, but he uses these magic binoculars to tag people. And then basically, okay, I got everything tagged. I think I see everybody there. I'm going to sneak in, try to take them all out. And it's pretty forgiving in that when you sneak in, the guys are, I don't know, they must have blinders on, or they all didn't wear their contacts that day. I really don't know. But you can sneak in, grab one guy and like pull him out and kind of like take him into a corner and like take out your knife and be like, where are the others? And they'll say something in Russian and it'll be translated and it'll say updated map. And it'll actually show you where everybody else is in the compound if you had missed somebody. And you can also ask them, like, you can just say, spit it out, and they'll tell you intel about your mission. Or so sometimes when you start a mission, it's like, okay, you got to go here and save this dude, but you don't know where that dude is, so you have to kind of like get your intel by interrogating. It's really neat. And when you do eventually get caught, you have a couple options. You can shoot your way out if you really want to. And the game is super forgiving when you get caught, because it'll go into this like exclamation point, and then everything will slow down. And if you hit the shoot trigger, you'll actually zoom into the guy that found you. And normally you'll have your Trank gun equipped. And as soon as you hit that trigger button, you're immediately like zoomed in on him. And all you have to do is kind of like slow-mo aim the gun, pop a Trank in his head, and he's down. And then you haven't been caught. So nice. It's very forgiving and very fun to do that. And then if you do get caught, ultimately, you know, it does get kind of annoying when they'll be like, hey, I found him. And then the entire army in that
compound
section
just comes down on you. Yeah.
Yeah. And in that point, you have a couple options. Like, it's, you're pretty competent in that you can shoot everybody if you really want to. And you aren't penalized for shooting. They're bad guys. No matter what you do, whether you stab them, you shoot them, whatever. It's a video game. But you can shoot them, or you can just run away. Even if you're in a mission, you can run away and kind of hide. And, you know, they're not idiots. They're going to remember that there was a bad guy there. But so they're going to be a little bit heightened, but they'll go back to their paths and sort of like waiting. They won't be actively searching for you. They'll just be a little more alert. It's that 30 seconds of fun that we talk about all the time. It's got that, you know, where you're always enjoying something new about that game, whether it's riding your horse into the distance to find another outpost, or, you know, ordering your horse. I just unlocked this, and I'm being serious. I ordered my horse to poop. It'll poop on command.
Great. That is something I always find strange in video games, is that you can't order an animal to poop.
Yeah. Well, Kojima, he's a master designer. Although it doesn't work how you'd expect. I had a sniper shooting me.
I don't even know how I think it would work, Ryan.
Well,
so
think about it. Just think, when at the end of this conversation, you'll be like, oh, Ryan, that makes perfect sense. So I'm doing a sniper boss fight where every time you get close to the sniper, she'll like run away. And I thought, oh, I know what I'll do. She's over by my horse. I'll distract her by my horse poop. So my horse pooped. I ordered it from across the map to poop. And I see, like, in my binoculars, yeah, he pooped. Good. But the sniper didn't turn away. So it's like, it's not even a mechanic. It just happens.
It's just a thing that you can do.
What's the point? I worked so hard.
Is it a crafting material?
Poop? I hope not. Is that what you're...
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a reason that this would happen.
Well, I don't... I think it was...
Isn't like fertilizer one of the ingredients to like some explosives or something? Isn't that what they always show on TV? Like, oh, he ordered a lot of fertilizer. That's your bomber.
No, I think what it is just...
I'm not making this up. TV did this to me.
Yeah, Breaking Bad. I know what you're talking about. I think it's literally just we needed to give the horse another ability, and come over here quick was already taken by the first ability. So maybe, hey, we'll make it poop. It's only the horse companion that poops. You can't get your other companions to poop on command.
See, chat room is saying that I'm right.
Yeah, they're also saying terrible things about me shooting, and I don't like shooting. I just do it in video games. I've never shot a gun in real life, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
But yeah, so anyways, that's the only thing that I can think of. Have you tried picking up the poop? Do you pick up after your animal?
No, it's Afghanistan. It's in the desert. No one's...
Maybe you should try picking up after your horse and seeing if you can use that to craft some sort of smoke bomb or something.
Next time I do it, I'm gonna dive, crawl under my horse and be like, all right,
damn, go time. Poop on me.
No, because it's... What? What game are you playing? It's not that Japanese. Come on. Basically, I think it's just a haha, we made the horse poop. I think we're dwelling on this fact. Like, this game almost won Game of the Year, and you're dwelling on the fact that you can make them. Maybe that's why it almost won Game of the Year.
Maybe, probably.
Yeah, I can see it now. It's a lot of fun, and it's the most fun I've had with a Metal Gear game. I actually wasn't expecting to really enjoy it. So I was also wary about picking it up because it's been getting odd press about, you know, microtransactions that actually negatively impact the game. I haven't come across that yet, But surely if I do, I will let everybody know. And there are news stories out there that you can do your research and figure it out. But it's a lot of fun. The last weird thing I did is that the sniper, I stole a sniper. I tranked her until she passed out and then took her back to the base. And I guess she's evil, so she's in a cage.
And she's, so you have a pet sniper now?
Yeah, and for some reason, she's sunbathing in a cage that's below deck. So I'm like, I don't know what you're doing, lady. You should probably do up your bra. You're not getting, there's hardly any sunlight down here.
Oh my God.
It's really weird. I know there's a lore reason for it. It's quiet. I'm sure you heard her name come across in terms of Metal Gear and the news. No, maybe. I don't know.
No.
Well, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. I don't know why I've added another open world game to my current roster of games.
Why not? It's not like you have anything better to do with your time right now.
Look, can we just be honest here? Every game that comes out that's like big, high profile is open world. The next Zelda game is going to be open world.
Well, it's because it gives you a lot to do and a lot to explore, and it's not like just a linear experience. It's like you guiding whatever you want to do in a game, and I definitely see the appeal to open world. I feel like it's going to swing back the other way soon, where we're going to get very directed experiences, because I feel like with everything going open world, you just can't play all the games anymore. You know, it used to be that you could play something like, even if it came out, even if there were games coming out, you know, every week or every 2 weeks, you could generally, if you were a huge gamer, sit down on the weekend, play your way through it. It was 10 to 15 hours of a story, and that was usually pretty much it. And then open world happened, and then, you know, the bigger they get, the longer they take, and then you put hundreds of hours into one title, and then you're like, oh wait, I just missed those five other things that came out, but they're all open world too. So
yeah.
I'm going to get caught up sometime around, you know, 8 months from now.
So what you're trying to say is, back in my day, you could beat games, and I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you look at the like, if you look at Metal Gear specifically, that is a game of a linear fashion that was changed to be open world, and mm-hmm. and you can treat it as a linear game if you want to. There is literally a list of missions that you can take on, which when you activate them, it cues in a cutscene, puts you in the location of that mission, and forces you to do that mission. But there are also options to do like open world stuff. They're called side ops, and you can really just kind of, you know, do them all, pick them off one at a time by traversing the map. But in a sense, it's weird how we're heading in that direction where everything has to be open world, and maybe that's just because of the hardware advances we've had, where in order to take the game to the next level, it's got to be open world to kind of like take advantage of the hardware. But there's something about playing, I don't know, like Smash Brothers, that's been essentially the same game for the last 20 years. They don't try to make it 3D, you know, like mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat had the same issue where, or it had that issue where it was a 2D game for the longest time. Then all of a sudden they had this new hardware, and it's like, well, let's try to make it 3D. And it nearly killed the franchise. And then now you look at it, and the last two games in the franchise have been 2D again, you know, but they just look really fantastic. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't think you have to open world. I think we're going to see a switch, like I said, back to more directed content. But yeah, I mean, I probably won't try Metal Gear, but I might try Star Wars, because that's the other thing you played this week, right?
Yeah, I literally, the reason I put it on here is I literally booted it up for one mission, and that sort of showcases what makes Battlefront so great. A lot of people look at these like online shooters and think, hey, I'm gonna play this game a bunch. But Battlefront really works in small doses, where there's not a whole lot to the game, but it just looks and sounds and plays fantastically. So I played one mission, and I was like, this is awesome, I gotta go to bed. But that was an awesome experience in Star Wars, and I don't know, I've just been really, really digging just the feel of that game. They really nailed it, and I'm not a big Battlefield guy, so
mm-hmm.
It's weird that I'm enjoying it. Have you tried it yet?
No, I haven't. I did watch Adam, my roommate, play some, I guess it was multiplayer stuff, which was kind of cool. So yeah. I haven't actually gotten in and tried it yet, but I have seen it in action, and it looks fun. And I'm not a huge Star Wars person, but I could get into that, I think.
Yeah, I'm not big on Star Wars either. I just I was like, you know, I saw episode 7. I was getting hyped for episode 7. I'm like, I want to play this Star Wars game because I'm all into Star Wars now. And it was just a great way to extend that feeling of being in the Star Wars universe with episode 7. And then now I can just go boot it up, and I can't name the last Star Wars game that made me do that. I don't even think there's been one that really hooked me. So yeah, Battlefront, if you can find it on sale, it's certainly worth it. But like at the $80 price tag, it's kind of hard.
A little bit much, yeah.
Yeah, especially when they're throwing that $50 season pass in your face. Oof.
Man, oh man. What I actually have been getting into a lot more lately is Heroes. And it's kind of weird because for the longest time I was just like, no, I don't like this game, I can't get into it. But I've been playing with friends, and actually we streamed some last night. We had Heroes Ladies Night with myself and Nevermore and Jules and Barber, who I think is actually in the chat room right now. And yeah, we had a ton of fun. And I think that's what I've been missing in Heroes, is that there's such a steep learning curve because of all the objectives on the maps that you have to like learn your heroes as well as learn your role on a specific thing. And you can't, at least in Quick Match, choose your hero based on the map that you're going to play. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I might have, you know, ETC, which is a great hero on map X, but then we queued into map Y and now I'm screwed. And, you know, so there's just a whole bunch of different things that you have to take into account with Heroes that you don't with most other MOBAs. So Heroes for me was a huge learning curve, and playing with people who are slightly better than me in that, like, Nevermore and Jules have a really good understanding of like what all the objectives are and when we should be going places and what we should be doing, which is what I struggle with. Mm-hmm. So it lets me just sit back and learn my heroes, and I can pretty much choose whatever I want, and then they'll build a comp around me. So it lets me kind of play around and find the fun, and I'm really, really enjoying it. And honestly, like, playing with the girls last night was so fun because it's just like we have stupid, ridiculous conversations. And like, oh man, Nevermore, who normally is like the sweetest, kindest, quietest person, is literally running around as an assassin going, "Ha! Eat shit and die!" And I'm like, what?
What's happening?
It's just so funny to see those like crazy personality changes when you put people into like a competitive gaming environment. It makes me so happy. So
that game is so much more fun when you're playing. It doesn't even have to be playing with other people who kind of know what they're doing, although I really love playing with people. I'm just like you. I need to be told what to do. I'll often start a game and be like, listen, guys, I consider myself a bit, I'm okay with Sylvanas, but I still need to know where I should go, what should hit, and all that fun business. And I'm always asking questions. And as long as up front you say to them, like, we're all on Skype for a reason, so let's communicate. Tell me what you need me to do, and I'll do it. And I'm going to ask questions, and hopefully, you know, there are no stupid questions, right? And it usually works out. But I've been doing some solo queuing. I've kind of been listening to Heroes podcasts while I solo queue, and that is some frustrating business. There, like, you start to learn what you need to do, and then you're sitting there and like, oh, I can't tell these people what I think they should, what I'm kind of hoping they could do, or asking them what I should do, because it's via typing, and if I'm typing, that means I'm dead, and if I'm dead, I've probably made a mistake. And I probably shouldn't be telling people what to do. You know, so,
well, you can you can ping the map.
That's so true. I've been doing a lot of that.
But still, yeah, it is. It's difficult when you go in totally by yourself.
I've been having. I usually try to pop on. You know, Bo is always playing from core, and he's always playing. So it's always nice to pop in. It's like, oh, I'll play a couple games, or I'll try to catch them. And there is always somebody playing in either the A-Move channel or the Frog Pants channel, and you can join both those channels. And every time I'm in Heroes, somebody's saying like, hey, anybody want to do quick matches? So you never have to play alone, because there are always folks playing. Although if you do want to play alone just to kind of test out like some comps and stuff, like, you can certainly do that. Like, losing isn't the worst thing in the world, unless you get steamrolled.
I had a daily quest yesterday to win 3 matches, and I think I'm a third of the way done, and we played for about 4 hours. So it was still fun, even though we were losing. And near the end, we actually, a couple of the girls had to drop out. So We ended up playing with Jayonce and Dills, and actually possibly Gora. I can't remember now who the last person was we played with. I'm such a terrible person. Anyways, but then the like the MMR of the matchmaking was like way up here, and I'm like way down here, and I was just like, man, oh man, I am, yeah, just everyone we queued into, I was like, oh, they are wiping the floor with me right now.
It was.
Okay, it was Gora. Yeah. Okay.
That's Bo. It was Bo. He's from Cork.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's Canadian.
I totally did not make that connection. Oh man, I'm a terrible person.
The memorable one, he says.
No, that he was Bo. Like, because I know Gorath from the chat room, but I didn't, I didn't make that connection.
It's all good. We're all Canadian. Just say you're sorry. It's fine.
And everything will be okay, right? Yeah, I'm sorry.
See? It's all good. That is the most fun I've had playing Heroes, is jumping in on games where other people are playing, and it's kind of like, hey, you got room for one more? And suddenly you have a Skype invite. You're in the game. You're choosing a hero. And you're telling your pregnant wife, I got to go. Scott and Bo and JP are playing Heroes. So, good night. Can't do that too many more times, but Heroes is so much fun. And have you tried Greymane yet?
I have tried Greymane, but I don't actually, not in quick match or anything. I've just done like the try him as a hero thing. And he's pretty fun, and there's two more that are coming soon. Looks like probably the Diablo 3 wizard, and then I think the wizard. Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing that Twitter's keeps saying to me.
And then the other one, not really sure. I'm thinking probably Medivh, but we'll see. Just because I feel like Heroes is starting to ramp up the same way Hearthstone is, which is to kind of like talk about characters that are going to feature in the Warcraft movie or, you know, possibly potentially being in Legion. So I think that they're kind of like taking those characters from Warcraft lore and making them a little bit more like up in your face. So that's why I think, because Medivh and Hearthstone was one of the first hero portraits that was released. So
yeah,
I think that
that's a solid bet. And Diablo just got a big patch, but it seems like Diablo's kind of itching for content. But I don't know, it'll be interesting to see, because you're right, they usually try to tie it in, but they don't always have to tie it in. Like Greymane and Lunara, while both Warcraft heroes, really weren't tied to anything specific. Same with Cho'Gall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was three Warcraft heroes in a row. What are they doing? They got more Warcraft heroes?
Looks like. You still hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you, but your video is going all pixelated.
Oh, man. It says that the call is crappy, but whatever. As long as you can still hear me, that's the important part. So.
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, I am so sick of tech/computer/internet issues. Like, I just want to go live in a cave.
Yeah? Well, most caves have Wi-Fi these days, so.
Yeah. So the other big news this week, going on right now, actually, although it might be finished, but they seem to have a lot to announce, in Smite, we are getting a whole lot of big changes, and, that's because the, World Championships have just concluded, and, they are changing, like, everything. Jim in the chat room was telling us earlier that they were changing a lot of items, or most items. There's new heroes, there's balance changes, there's just it's crazy. So we're gonna talk about that more next week, in case you guys aren't sick of me talking about Smite. But I think it's a really good time, or like what I really wanted to highlight about all of this is that they're making big, huge, sweeping changes to the game. And they're doing it right after the championship versus Hearthstone, that made a really, really big change to the game right before the World Championship. And I personally think that for competitive reasons, Smite is doing it properly.
Well, they're doing like actual seasons.
Well, yeah, Hearthstone does too. Hearthstone has like a annual World Championship and has seasons and stuff like that. But they nerfed Warsong Commander right before the World Championships, and it totally changed. Like, you couldn't play Patron Warrior the same way anymore. And it was good from a spectator standpoint, but from a competitive standpoint, it really felt like making a change like that was like saying, we're going to add a fifth base in baseball right before the World Series because it'll be more fun to watch. It's like, No.
Yeah. It's a terrible idea. Yeah. And while I respond, I'm just going to put this on hold and see if we can fix this. But yeah, I think that you'll have to turn your video back on. But fixed it. So yeah, no, I think that's a grand idea, you know, and super smart and well informed. You know, it's like, let's not piss off our most active and supportive players by changing something that they've been preparing for the last 6 or 7 months. Mm-hmm. And I think with Smite, I really never experienced this a whole lot with games in terms of like PvP. I'm not a big PvPer, but Smite was kind of the first game that got me into it, and I became more aware how seasons work. And I was really surprised when they said like season 3 changes, and they're sweeping, and they're this and they're that. And I was kind of like, wow, like, did they just come up with all these fixes like during the championship? Shouldn't they be focusing on, you know, their big esports thing? And my brain didn't quite flip over until I was like, oh. And then you said what you said basically is that they like pool all these changes that they want to make until after the season. And that's just, it's a no-brainer,
right? Know? Okay, because I always thought that maybe I was crazy when they announced the Hearthstone changes right before World Championship, and like people were not nearly as pissed off as I was. And I'm like, guys, if we want to be taken seriously as a competitive arena, we should probably maybe not change the rules right before the championship.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that theory, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone asked them straight up, they'd be like, yeah, that's exactly why we did it, and. You know, some would argue that adding new heroes is equivalent to adding new cards during a season that mixes up the meta and changes how a championship may be fought. But when the championship does come around, like, they don't introduce content so close to the championship that there isn't balance there. You know, they mm-hmm. don't introduce, like, a brand new hero right before the championship and say, like, it's not balanced, YOLO, have fun, you know.
But even then, like, when the thing about just MOBAs in terms of the way they work versus something like Hearthstone, they have the ability to slightly tweak things and bring them into balance, and they can do that with a tiny little patch versus like Hearthstone. There's no such thing really as a small change in Hearthstone, just because if you look at things like even health and attack of creatures, like we're talking a scale of 1 to 12, not 1 to way big. Yeah. You know, like you can't make a 0.05% change to a Hearthstone card. It's impossible. So it's really hard to make those little tiny balance tweaks. And then so when you change something, you're actually changing it by, you know, 30%, 40%, 50%, which are really, really impactful changes. So that's why we don't see little balance changes in Hearthstone. You just really can't. Not on the level of like fine tuning that you can do in a MOBA. And so that's why we see like new heroes coming out, and it's not as big a problem as, you know, a new card or a big nerf right before a championship in Hearthstone. Anyways, we should move on because we are running out of time and we keep going off on these tangents, and I apologize. But I wanted to remind everybody that if you want to show your support for the Gamers Inn and for Amove, you can go over to bit.ly/Amove store and you can get your logos from all your favorite things. Right on wine glasses and pint glasses and, oh, right, decals that I always forget.
Every time we talk about decals, decals, if you're French, how else do you say it?
I don't know. But yes, yeah, so you can head on over to bit.ly/Amove store and pick yourself up a really cool Amove glass. We appreciate the support. And those are done by the one and only Barbecue Master, who is normally in the chat room. I think he's probably there. He's just lurking. So yeah, he does awesome work. I have Gamers in wine glass, and it's wonderful. Perfect. That takes
everyone's jumping on that.
Everyone's just making fun of decals now. Okay, so
decals are awesome.
Topic of the week this week is StarCraft 2 spoilers. We are finally going to talk about StarCraft 2 in a total open. It's been long enough now that if you haven't played StarCraft 2, you're probably not going to, or you don't care about spoilers. So we are going to talk about it. On that note, I just wanted to tell everybody I actually haven't 100% finished the game, because when my hard drive died a couple weeks ago, my save game was gone, and then I went to go play today because I only had a couple of missions left, and they're having authentication issues, and I'm hoping that that's the problem. But basically, I have no save game, so it wanted me to start a new campaign. So I was like, screw that. I went to the wiki, and I read the story, and then I went and watched all the cinematics. So I know what happened in the last two missions.
So did you like the ending?
I did. Okay. It gave me happy, feely, warm inside things, especially that epilogue.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been hearing, and we touched on it, I think, in our Game of the Year episode, where I said that there were people sort of making fun of the conclusion to the epic saga that is StarCraft II, and I totally saw their points, and that the ending is kind of silly, but fits the universe very well, I think.
I know. I don't understand why they thought the ending, I guess, was silly.
Yeah, I mean, I had people actively say that Blizzard doesn't tell good story, and I'm like, I mean, they tell good story, but it's not like Oscar worthy. Like, I would think that a lot of stories being told are for entertainment purposes, and they don't all need to be art. They don't all need to be Gone Home. They don't all need to be Braid. They need to be entertaining stories, and I think Blizzard tells very entertaining stories.
Yeah, and I mean, like, so at the end, so again, guys, we are spoiling this, so yes. If you haven't played StarCraft and you don't want spoilers, you should turn off now. But in the end, I watched the cinematic, and so I didn't even have the like the lead up of the playthrough and the dialogue and stuff in the actual level, but just like the whole Kerrigan thing where she turns into a Zelnaga, and then there's like the moment with her and Raynor, and she like appears to him and she's all human again. Like, I teared up. Like, I love their love story. I love Raynor. Like, I felt like, and I think this is kind of the problem with StarCraft II Legacy of the Void in general, is they literally like tied up every single loose end from all of StarCraft ever, because like, I was starting to get really lost with like who was who and what was going on and all this different stuff, kind of from where about the time Phoenix shows up.
Yeah,
I can who see is that. Like this like AI in a robot from a dude who died and was brought back and then died again. Like, and but it's like they literally went back and grabbed all the little bits of StarCraft that were kind of like unresolved and resolved them in Legacy of the Void. So I played Wings of Liberty and I played Heart of the Swarm, but I didn't play StarCraft, just original StarCraft. So all the stuff from like Brood War and all of that, like, I had no background on that whatsoever. Like, Kerrigan has always been like Queen of Blades to me. She's always been evil and Zergy. So
yeah,
just everything that they tied back together again, I was so lost. But then I went and read the wiki, and the article was actually really, really good, because it was like, and then this thing happened, and you'll remember this person from blah, 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 this thing. So I was like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, no wonder the story didn't make sense to me. Like,
yeah. They even bring back Tassadar in a certain way, right? As sort of the MacGuffin, like, oh, he might be still alive, but he really isn't. He's just this weird blob alien thing. Like, you know, and I'm not making fun, because I really enjoyed the story. I'm just acknowledging the fact that it is sci-fi campy. And
when I loved it. The game. I loved the story. I think anyone who hasn't played StarCraft, even if you're not a fan of like RTS games, get the game, put it on easy, because I do think it is a really good story. Particularly, like, I loved Wings of Liberty. I loved Heart of the Swarm. Legacy of the Void is probably my least favorite of the three, but even then, like, it was awesome. Just playing through and seeing the Protoss story. I mean, I cried on stream at one point because of the when Zeratul dies. I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, so I don't know. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. And the reason I loved it is that, and the third chapter, I think, is the weakest of them all, because it's trying to, like, okay, for some reason, we need to put a cap on this. And I totally understand why they're doing it. Like, this is a 10-year journey from StarCraft II to the end of Star. I think it's maybe 5 years or whatever. It's been a long time. 10 years probably for the whole franchise. And when you look at that, they're putting a cap on all the stories told before. And I think those people who are out there saying, like, well, then there's going to be no more StarCraft. It's like, well, Blizzard's come right out and said that, no, no, we are going to give you more StarCraft to buy. You know, there's that mission pack, which will probably be launching in the next couple months, where it takes place after the events of StarCraft II, and you play as Ghost. And I think that's awesome. As Nova. And I think the story ends really well and wraps up the characters that are there. And Yeah, it's not as strong as Wings of Liberty or Heart of the Swarm, but that's because it's with this the most alien race, I think. Mm-hmm. Because you've actually, you're playing an alien. In Heart of the Swarm, you're playing a human, you know, that has human emotion. And,
yeah.
And it's surrounded by aliens, but you're still playing a human. But in the Protoss land, like, you are playing this, he's a little more humanized, but he's surrounded by these alien-ass aliens and different type of aliens, like robot aliens, evil aliens.
Yeah, and it was harder to kind of wrap your head around a lot of the stuff that was happening because it was things that were previously kind of seen as almost like spiritual or religious that then were turned into like something that was concrete, I guess. And yeah. I'm thinking of all like the Kala stuff and like just all that extra, or I guess not extra, but all the stuff with the Protoss and how they communicate and what they form their society around, and then taking that and it getting corrupted, and just that kind of went from this like existential, you know the word I'm trying to say.
Extra content. No, well, story related.
Into like how the Protoss were like grounded together and stuff. And so it's like, that was kind of hard to wrap your head around too. And then, because we still don't know a whole lot about how like psionics and stuff really work. And then there's this like magic crystal thing that was like a prison and a map and a communication device. And, you know, like,
I mean, if we
wait, what?
If we learn anything, if we learn anything from the precursor race, it's that they were very good at shoving a bunch of shit into crystals.
Apparently. Yeah. It's just like, it seemed like every time I turned around where I was starting to maybe potentially understand the whole Zelnaga thing and the artifact and the crystal and what it did, then all of a sudden it's just like, but then it does all this other stuff too. I'm like, oh man. Like,
one powerful crystal.
I have a very, very limited knowledge and understanding of physics, and I think that that's probably why I prefer fantasy to sci-fi. It's a whole lot easier for me to just think of things as magic than think of things as science. And so when I'm sitting there and I'm being presented with all this information in a way that I feel like I should understand and I just don't get it, I'm just like, damn you, sci-fi, I'm out.
and that's the beauty of StarCraft. I think those people who overreact to the story, and I'm playing a bit of devil's advocate here so we don't end up sitting here just having a love fest, even though this it was a great game and a great conclusion. I think if you kind of fact check it too much and don't just like turn your brain off and have a great time, which is what I did. I didn't worry about it. I just had fun and paid attention to the, like, listening to John Delancey like yell at Artanis for like 20 minutes was the best part about that game. The voice acting is superb. I clicked on everything to hear every little voice chat. It's just really well done. And you don't get that with RTSs. You just don't.
Yeah.
There are hardly any RTSs to begin with in this day and age, you know? So this was special, this little chapter in StarCraft II, even if it may have been the weakest of three great parts. It was still fantastic.
It was still a great part, yeah.
And like, let's talk about the ending where it's just happily ever after ending. It's like, well, what did you expect? It's that kind of game.
Best.
Yeah, that's what you want.
I'm so happy.
No
when
one's...
I'm like, oh man, in the epilogue scene where Raynor's like sitting at the bar, I'm just like, oh no, like, he's all alone. He's got no friends left. He's looking at all those pictures. He's lost Kerrigan. And then she walks through the door, and I'm just like, ah. I know, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a huge sap, but I loved it.
but that's the thing, is that games these days end in a way that isn't a complete and utter ending. It's usually like open-ended. Like, look at Mass Effect, the last great trilogy that we adored on this show, and the ending was so open-ended that it was literally Neil Armstrong talking to a kid with a planet with two moons saying, "Then dance the tale of the shepherds. Would you like to hear another tale of the shepherds? Yes, daddy. I don't know why we sound the same." And it was just like, you're just like, what? When you finish StarCraft II, it's like, ah, oh, that's great. I'm going to go do something else. That's the end. I don't have to go to forums. I don't have to wiki it unless you didn't play it.
But unless you were unable to play. Yeah,
yeah, unable to play. I just thought that the ending was like, I am satisfied. I don't need to see any more Jim Raynor in StarCraft. StarCraft 3 could be about completely different characters.
I could stand to see a lot more Jim Raynor.
Yes.
I think, but I have a huge crush, so.
I think if there was a StarCraft 3, and they leave a little open ending there where it's like, I think the only open ending was suddenly life started popping up on planets that didn't have it before. And that could be equated to the cycle being quote unquote broken, and that there's no evil dipshit to go in and tear things up. It's just Kerrigan as the good Zelnaga.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that. And believe it or not, even if you solve this big issue of a guy bringing Armageddon, there's always going to be dicks in space. So there is an ability to have a StarCraft 3. That's the whole reason they're continuing the story. Dicks in space. That's the subtitle, I think.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think they did leave it open enough to kind of come back to it if they want to. But I think that they're in a good place with StarCraft. And I think if we see another StarCraft game, it won't be an RTS just because the genre is kind of falling to the wayside a little bit because I think of the popularity of MOBAs. So I think we might see something in StarCraft. I think we'll probably see a StarCraft movie. I think we might potentially see a game, but if we do, it'll probably be like a first-person shooter type of a something. Yeah. Something probably along the lines of like a Mass Effect something. I don't know.
To further the story, I would love Blizzard to do a Mass Effect style StarCraft game. And don't get me wrong, I love RTSs and I think those are great. I can't remember where it was, but someone had suggested StarCraft moving towards a MOBA model where it's some, you know, new content's added every once in a while as story bits. And that's what they're doing with StarCraft 2, in that they're adding these mission packs, and I hope they're successful. I mean, it's Blizzard doing story content. Of course it's going to be successful, but I want more in this universe. And we're getting it, which is, and that's the beauty of the ending of StarCraft 2. Like, we wanted this great, happy ending, and we got it. And most companies will be like, fade to black, cut to black, the guy's still alive, oh, go back, oh, there's his chest, he breathed, credits. And then 5 years later, you get another one. Literally in Halo, he breathed, yeah. Literally in Halo 3, it ends with, wake me when you need me. I wonder if we'll get a fourth one, Jocelyn. And we did. And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So, well, I thought it was fantastic.
Well, yeah, you did, but whatever. We won't get into the Halo argument again.
No, it's a great argument. You have Halo 5. Halo
5 is the next thing that I should get into, because it's literally sitting downstairs, came with the Xbox One, and is unopened. So, yeah, maybe
you
I should.
You played 1 through 4. You kind of, like, have to. It's really good. It's a lot of fun. And it's... the ending is not as good as StarCraft 2, but it's solid. It's solid.
Jim in the chat room says, I hope there's no StarCraft 3, at least not as a continuation of the storyline. I like the idea of the races settling down in normal existences instead of the Kuprulu sector ending up as another Azeroth where one shitty thing happens after another and there's never any real peace. I like that idea too. I think, I don't know, there could be some kind of, like, the thing is, at least with kind of human existence the way we know it, as there's always going to be some sort of a power struggle type thing. So I could see another title like Wings of Liberty or something where you're essentially getting this whole civil war type of a feel. That I could see happening really, really easily, but I agree. I don't want like another Zerg Protoss Terran conflict. Like, well, I like the way they are now.
Yeah, you could easily have... Well, look at what Mass Effect's doing. And we were joking about the whole, like, cut to black, he's breathing, cut to credits, Shepard story. Mass Effect, what is equivalently 4, Andromeda, is set tens of thousands of years in the future, tens of thousands of light years away. And it's kind of like that's... It's in the same universe with similar races and new races. And you could easily have a StarCraft set in the future... where it's set farther away, it's not in the Kapulu sector or whatever, and it's maybe humans, and maybe the Zergs make an appearance. The Protoss are the oldest race in existence. They should, of course, be there. And maybe there's a third, a new race that pops up, and that's the big baddie. No place exists with ultimate peace. Like, that's just not how stories work, and that's unfortunately not how the real world works either. I think the ending chapter for StarCraft 2 really set up this peaceful environment where you didn't have the infighting between the races. They were all somewhat reluctantly uniting in some way throughout the course of the game to face this ultimate evil. So if anything, there's this ultimate evil that's been brewing for a long time, but there was peace. You know, it was just this one dick in space being an asshat and coming around trying to end the world. Yeah. Why you gotta piss in our cereal or whatever they call it?
Yeah, and I think too, like, there are reasons that Azeroth doesn't actually really have any kind of real lasting peace, because basically just like the underlying energy and the fact that they've, or I guess magic or whatever you want to call it, anyways,
that's the excuse,
that like Azeroth is a huge source of that. And because they've, you know, any other world that has been like Azeroth has then been conquered by the Burning Legion and essentially destroyed and, you know, sucked up all the magic. So that's why Azeroth is continually in flux, is because we've managed to repel them multiple times, but they keep coming back. And so that's like, but there isn't that kind of engine in the StarCraft universe now. Like, basically, it would be the equivalent in Azeroth of us destroying the Burning Legion is what we just did in StarCraft. So I feel like StarCraft is probably done for a long time.
Well, the races
like probably for a really long time. So
the races are at peace. I think we're like the Protoss are like, they have, maybe you could even do a Protoss Wings of Liberty where there's more infighting there. I think you got more of a sense of a civil war happening there, some uneasiness as they sort of united. But I think between the races, everyone's pretty cool. And I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Like, it took a long time to get StarCraft 2. It's going to take a longer time to get StarCraft 3. Yeah. I think you'll see, you'll see more mission packs for StarCraft 2 until the engine is literally out of date, which could take, you know, could take another 2 or 3 years for that to happen. But I think, I think that's the StarCraft content you're going to get is in that engine. And then after that, it's going to take a long time, especially if Overwatch takes off and Hearthstone has.
Yeah, I think that's probably the nail in the coffin for Diablo as well. But that's another topic for another night, because we are out of time. Well, anyways, wanted to remind everyone that we have our patron hangout tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern, barring any baby Murphy entry into the world.
Yeah.
So if you guys also want to go over to patreon.com/thegamersin and give us some game night suggestions, we will be doing that right after the patron hangout. So you get all your Gamers In content starting at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, right into our game night at 8 p.m. So if you want to play, if you want to give us suggestions, head on over to patreon.com/thegamersin. We wanted to take this moment as well to thank all of our patrons, because we wouldn't be doing all of this extra content without your help and support. That'll do it for us tonight. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you thought about the ending of StarCraft 2, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers In, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.